Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. I'm recording this opening segment here at about 9:20 last night, watching the Oscars. Amy Schumer, let's talk about her. I thought the monologue was pretty good. So if you didn't watch the Oscars, it opened with the three hosts doing an opening segment that did not get great reviews. I thought Wanda Sykes carried that first segment. Amy sounded like she was reading other people's lines, and it just seemed a little funky, and I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be a rough ride. But then they threw it to Amy Schumer and gave her a solo monologue, and for all the grief, for all the times I've said over the last month, Amy Schumer, who's hosting the Oscars for some reason, and I still don't understand why, she did a great job on the monologue. Some of her jokes. This year, the Academy hired three women to host because it's cheaper than hiring one man. After Regina Hall and Wanda Sykes described how proud they were to be representing black women, Amy said, "And I'm representing unbearable white women who call the cops when you get a little too loud." Then for her monologue, a solo monologue, which I think is redundant, Johnny Mac, but the other two left the stage. It was just Amy. That's what I'm trying to say here. I'm Amy Schumer, or as I'm known in Hollywood, Melissa McCarthy's not interested. Good joke. We're at the Oscars. This is a dream come true. The only place I could think that could be better than this is home. After years of Hollywood ignoring women's stories, we finally got a story about the Williams sisters' dad. That was good. And a good, solid shot at Leonardo DiCaprio. What can I even say about him? He's done so much to fight climate change and leave behind a cleaner, greener planet for his girlfriends. Now, some people on Twitter say that joke was stolen. I shared a screen grab on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast group, of somebody with that same joke from last December. So, I don't know. Parallel thinking. Another coincidence? You tell me. One more from Amy. Don't Look Up is nominated. I guess the Academy winners don't look up reviews. So as I record this, Amy hasn't actually been on camera in an hour. Wanda Sykes disappeared from about 8:05 to 9:05, and she did a long pre-recorded segment where she was at the Academy Museum or whatever the heck it is. And I was like, I'm getting sleepy. I'm coming downstairs. So if Amy does more, we'll talk about that on Tuesday's pod. Also, shortly before the Oscars, a trailer for season 2 of Only Murders in the Building aired, and Amy Schumer is going to be a guest star in that season. From the New York Post, Joe Rogan apparently took aim at, quote, woke activist employees of large Silicon Valley tech firms. That sentence sounds like me doing National Donuts chain or the right-wing podcast host joke. Joe Rogan took aim at woke activist employees of large Silicon Valley tech firms, calling them mentally ill and, quote, lunatics who are running the asylum to a certain extent. All right, Joe Rogan. Joe was interviewing Antonio Garcia Martinez, who's an ex-engineer at Apple and Facebook. Rogan asked, from someone from the outside, we look at it and say, how are those effing places run? Rogan said he had a conversation with a, quote, good friend who was in a management position at Google before leaving that firm for, quote, another large tech company. The way she described it to me was, it's utter madness. The lunatics are running the asylum to a certain extent because there's a lot of people working inside the company now that are legitimately mentally ill and they consider themselves activists. Rogan added that tech bosses at the companies have to placate the workers because there are a certain percentage of the population that works for the company, and they're the loudest, and they oftentimes don't get work done. When the workers are confronted over not getting work done, quote, they talk about their activism. He said his friend was forced to reprimand tech workers, telling them, you're here for X amount of hours per day, this is your effing job, you're not an activist. Martinez told Rogan companies are partly to blame because workers are encouraged by HR departments to bring their real self to work. Martina said, Facebook was a cult and I joined it and I was a happy member of it. It was very powerful. Everyone sacrificed themselves for the sake of the empire and its emperor. Alrighty. Switching gears, Ron Burgundy is going to be live next season on Will Ferrell's Ron Burgundy podcast. Will said, it's fun to be in front of a live audience with the interaction. It's been fantastic. You can really feel that people are wanting to see things in a community experience, see live theater. We're having the best time. We script some of it. We just try to follow the audience. It's a little bit of a high wire act, but I love it. Ferrell announced two new podcasts will come from his team. The first, The Big Sexy Interview Show with Michael Bolton. All right. Ferrell says it will just be Michael Bolton talking. The second is called The Feed, which is an inside baseball type of series that will feature a group of 10 fellow comedians. Each will get their own mini shows, some of which will be scripted. Ferrell said the goal is to make it a fun kind of sandbox for everybody to play in. Hey, note to Will Ferrell, won't you see how many podcasts have the title The Feed? There are many. His advice to comedians, be true to yourself and follow your gut. And at the end of the day, you're going to find out what your sweet spot is. They'll come along if you create something that's unique and strong with a singular kind of vision. Creators should stick to their guns and be willing to go beyond the confines of audio. You're sort of just chopping wood. It'll pay off either right away or down the road. I know you're thinking, hey, Johnny Mac, what's new with Pete Davidson? Well, Kim Kardashian was on Instagram, shared a photo of Pete Davidson's collarbone tattoo. That tattoo says, "My girl is a lawyer." Yahoo adds, although Kim is not an attorney yet, she has passed the, quote, baby bar exam, which has nothing to do with babies, despite some rumors out there. I'm not spreading those rumors, which allowed Kim to forego the traditional law school route under California rule. She has helped several incarcerated individuals be granted clemency and is now eligible to sit for the bar exam in order to obtain her license in practice. The UCB Theater is coming back from the dead of sorts. It has been acquired by the former CEO of The Onion. Deadline says they will reopen the Black Box Theater at 5919 Franklin Avenue. It sounds like Matt Besser, Amy Poehler, Ian Roberts, and Matt Walsh, the founders, are out. In a statement, they said, "We're pleased to be handing over the reins to Jimmy and Mike in hopes the theater and school will be continuing to be a thriving environment for all who want to learn and perform comedy. We look forward to the ways they will commit to increasing diversity and ensure the continued existence of an organization we have loved and dedicated ourselves to for over 20 years. Hey, remember that tribute to Bob Saget, the one with Chris Rock and Michael Keaton and John Lovitz and Seth Green, Paul Rodriguez, Byron Allen, a bunch of other people? Good news, it's going to air on Netflix. Mike Binder was on the John Poveromo podcast and said, "We filmed it and I showed it to Netflix and I said, look at this." The head of comedy said, "This is remarkable." And they bought it as a special. It's going to air the first week of June. So here's my question. Sorry to ask difficult questions here. Do they film everything at the Comedy Store with presumably multiple cameras and professional sound equipment? Maybe they do. I haven't been to the Comedy Store in quite some time. Or did we do a tribute to Bob Saget, filming it, hoping that we could turn this into a special? And, knowing a little bit about the business, if this is a special, did everybody sign a release that night? Maybe at the Comedy Store you always sign a release, because they always film everything. I don't know. So was this a tribute, or, hey, Bob's dead, let's make a comedy special and sell it to Netflix? Is there money involved? Where's the money going? I got a lot of questions. Sorry to ask questions. I look forward to watching it, but sorry to ask questions. I have some questions. Jim Gaffigan talked to Buckeye Country 94.3. Do Jim's kids think that Jim Gaffigan is funny? His 12-year-old does not think he's funny at all. His 10 and 9-year-old kids just see them as their dad. The 17-year-old thinks Jim is funny, but her favorite comedian is John Mulaney. If you would like to support the show, there are two ways. You can either go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. I'll take your money. I'll go to the National Donuts chain. I'll buy a large iced coffee with milk, and I will drink it, and I will thank you, and I will say your name on the air. Or you can sign up for the premium edition of this podcast on Apple Podcasts for $4.99 a month. You become a paid subscriber. You get the episodes commercial-free, except for the coffee stuff. Plus, you'll get the episodes early. For example, as soon as I'm done recording this one, I'm going to release it to the feed. Everybody else will get it Monday at 3:05 a.m. Eastern, like you always did. And there will be bonus episodes in the feed. There's already a bonus episode, Robin Williams Stories, Part 1. So that's on Apple Podcasts. Go to Daily Comedy News. You'll see the option to become a paid subscriber for $4.99. If you don't want to become a paid subscriber, nothing else has changed. I'm just trying to avail myself of some of Apple's marketing opportunities there. Williamette Week was doing Portland's Funniest Five. I did one of those guys yesterday. Another one of the five is Brian Bixby. He joked that he hates people who are in shape so much that he understands why joggers get murdered. Hey, I'm a jogger. I just bought new sneakers. I don't use the term jogger. I consider myself a runner. I don't want to be murdered. Oh, wait. Calm down, Johnny Mac. It's a joke. He understands why joggers get murdered. Afterwards, he was confronted by an angry audience member. The guy saw me outside and he was like, "That was really messed up. My friend was murdered on Thursday." Bixby recalls, and this was a Saturday show. That exchange might have left some comedians feeling contrite, not Bixby. He said, "I don't want to be gross or awful or anything like that. The point is to make bad things a little bit better. I think everybody has a lot of the same insecurities and fears. It's just being confident is not giving into that moment, which is how I can go on stage and come off as a pretty confident presence, even though I'm not really that at all." Bixby is a master of soliciting multiple reactions simultaneously. In mere moments, he can make you go from ew to aw, like when he does a bit about watching incest porn. The joke, "Not for the sex, I just like to fantasize being in a different family." It's a good joke. Aw, both parents are there. What a lovely Christmas. Bixby did his first stand-up set at 15 at his high school. I had to submit a full script of all the jokes I wanted to do to the principal to get her approval on it, and I think all but like 3 or 4 jokes were rejected. I was thinking how far back it goes, that's sort of crossing the line. One time he was appearing at Comic Strip, an event that invited comedians to perform wearing as few articles of clothing as they pleased. Bixby said, I wore two pairs of boxers, and the bottom pair had a giant hole on the underside. After removing the first pair, he sat on a stool and let his stuff hang out the hole, and he did a joke about manspreading. That's as far as I went. It was really cathartic and felt really freeing and good. You have nightmares of showing up in class and realizing you're naked. Once you're to that point, it's like, what could go wrong from here? That's Brian Bixby. Sounds like he's pretty funny and a good choice for Portland's Funniest Five. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your shows. If you would like the show ad-free, become a paid subscriber on Apple Podcasts for $4.99 a month. You'll get the episodes ad-free, early, and some bonus episodes. See you tomorrow.